Okay, so this is kind of a continuation from, not from last night's, but from Monday's discussion on the issue of chatzitza. Let's just chaz the Gemara a little bit, and we'll try to discuss some of the Rishonim on our daf and how they might relate to a more global halacha in terms of what we're makbid on for chatzitza, what we're not makbid on for chatzitza. So again, the Gemara had a whole discussion based on Hey Amid Beis, the statement of Rav, Shiurin chatzitzin u'mechitzin, halacha Moshe Misinai. Right? So there are three categories of things that are halacha Moshe Misinai. Shiurin chatzitzin u'mechitzin. So shiurin, we spoke a little bit about that last night, in terms of kedei achilas pras. Right? I think I posted it last night, so if anybody's interested, you know, I had one of my favorite rants about how fast you have to eat your matzah on Pesach, and you could check it out. But the issue of chatzitzin, so the Gemara has a discussion first about how many hairs that are tied together is considered a real chatzitza. So the Gemara says if you have one hair tied in a knot, so then that's definitely a chatzitza because the water is not going to be able to get inside that fine little knot. Where if you have three hairs that are tied together, then that's not going to be a very good knot at all. Because the water is definitely going to be able to get in there, so that's not a chatzitza. Two, we have a suffix, we're not sure. And then we said, well, what's the halacha Moshe Misinai? That's the din of Rabbi Yitzchak. And then going over from Vavam and Aleph, Vavam and Beis, the Gemara says, quotes from Rabbi Yitzchak, Dvar Torah, according to the din d'oraisa, and Rashi says over there, halacha Moshe Misinai, rubo makbidol of chotzeitz, v'sheino makbidol of eino chotzeitz. Really, the only din d'oraisa that we're talking about is rubo umakbid. That if a person has a chatzitza on the majority of his body and also doesn't want it there, then that is considered a chatzitza. But if he doesn't care that it's there, he's very happy to have it there, then it does count as a chatzitza. No, the opposite. Then he doesn't count as a chatzitza if he's not makbid. Fine. And then they made a gzeira derabanan, a gazra, rubu she'ena makbid mishim rubu amakbid, v'al miyuto amakbid mishim rubu amakbid. So they had two different gzeiras. You have two factors, basically. You have rov and you have makbid. So they were gozer miut u makbid atu rubo makbid, which is only one step removed. And then they were gozer, right, rubo ve'eno makbid atu rubo makbid, right, which is a different one step removed. In other words, you have the eno makbid, which has to be rov. So we're gozer atu rubo makbid. And if you have miut u makbid, so then that's nigzar, the makbid and makbid makes it one step away from rubo makbid as well. And then the Gemara says, but miut veino makbid, they're not going to make a gzera. So if you have a tiny little chatzitza and you couldn't care less that it's there, so then there is no such din, midrabanan or midraisa, that's a chatzitza. And they specifically said, if you would be gozer on miyot ve'eno makbid, that would be exera on exera. And we don't generally do that, except when we do. Right? So that's, but that's what the Gemara says. We're not going to make exera on exera there. Right. So that's the Gemara. Basically, here you have a machlokes. Maybe it's a machlokes Rashi Tosfos. It's definitely a machlokes between Tosfos and someone. Right? So I'll explain. So Rashi, this Ari pointed out last time, the Ramaskal rubo, what does it mean, rubo makbid? I use the word body. I said rove of your body. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says, rove saro metunaf petit o koshur achas achas. The majority of one's hair, it has some schmutz in it, it has some type of a slime or whatever, or it's knotted one hair by one hair, which we just said before is definitely a chatzitza. Umakbid alav, and he's makbid. He doesn't like his hair to look like that. So then chotzeitz, that's a chatzitza. So what? According to Rashi, seemingly, Rabbi Yitzchak's whole din of rubo makbid applies to what? Only one's hair. Thus, what I said about the body doesn't apply. So let's say you have a little thing on the underside of your finger, right? Let's say you're a scribe. I don't think we have too many scribes, but I'll call you a calligrapher. Let's say you're a calligrapher, right? And you have, or an artist, and you have a little bit of paint or ink on the underside of your finger, right? So are you allowed to go to the mikveh with that chatzitza on? So I would have said for sure, just reading the Gemara, absolutely, because that's a miut ve'eno makbid. right? It's almost, you know, for your profession, it's almost like a badge of honor that you have that ink stain over there. That you're like, yeah, this is what I do. I write, I use fancy inks, you know, and maybe some of the ink gets on my finger, right? So it's a mute, certainly not the majority of your body. And it's anal makbid. It's, you couldn't care less that it's there. You're perfectly happy that it's there, right? But according to Rashi, what would be the din? L'chora, that's a chatzitza. Why? Because the whole din of Rubo Makbid is a halachal Moshe Misinai that it only applies to hair. So only in your hair would we say that you're not Makbid on a small chatzitza, but on the rest of your body, that constitutes a chatzitza. Even Miyut Veino Makbid is a chatzitza. That's probably what one could say being Medayik and Rashi. Tosfot, yeah.
That
Rubo's on Bar Torah?
Yeah.
First,
that Rubo's the first.
He says, Midaraisa. So if you have Rubo Makbid in your hair, that's when it's Chotetz. But Miyut Veino Makbid, it's not even us in Midarabanan. Right? That's how Rashi seems to be reading the Gemara. Shkoyach.
They had no Coke Zeros.
All right. I'll let it go. Thank you very much.
I tried calling you, asking what you do.
Right. I'm on. I'm using it to record. Okay. So, Tosfos quotes in the name of Yesh Meforshim. Tosfos doesn't quote this in the name of Rashi. If you take a look at the top Tosfos on Vav and Beis, the Maskel Dvar Torah, Tosfos writes, Yesh Meforshim, Dehocha Airi Beseir. So usually Tosfos is not bashful about arguing with Rashi. So it's interesting that Tosfos quotes B'Shem Yesh Meforshim. We'll see. Maybe that matters. So he says, Yesh Meforshim, Dehocha Airi Beseir. That's just what we said. So Tosfos is marbe berayos that that's not true. Tosfos basically says that there's no way. He has a few seemingly excellent rayas that that's not the case. I'll go through one of them in a second. And if you look in the Ritva on our Masechta also, same thing. He quotes that there also is such a daya. And he says there's no way that that's the case. And he quotes only one main raya of Tosfos, but Tuad and Tosfos' other rayas are very good also. The main raya is quotes from Darmina Meperka Orel. He quotes the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Ayin Chesed Aleph, where he says, Nochris ham uberes, shenizgaira b'no, ein tzorich tvilo. So what happened? The kid was in his mother's stomach when she went to the mikvah, l'shem geiris, right? Or she went to the mikvah, and the kid doesn't need to go to the mikvah, l'shem geiris. Why not? Because he was already yotze with his mother's tevila. So the Gemara over there asks, Amai, why shouldn't the kid need to go to the mikvah? He wasn't even in the mikvah. He was in his mother's womb. He didn't even notice the difference. Normally, when you go into the mikvah, even if you're wearing a full body suit, you know you're in a mikvah. This kid had no clue that he was in a mikvah. He was in his mother's stomach the whole time. So v'chitim mishum Rabbi Yitzchak. So if you want to say it's because of Rabbi Yitzchak, that's our Rabbi Yitzchak, the din that Rubo Makbid, it has to be Rubo Makbid. So he says, so in this case, it was definitely Rubo, but the kid's ain't no Makbid. Why is the kid ain't no Makbid? Because, you know, he's very happy where he is. He knows that he needs to be in his mother's womb in order to survive. So the kid's not Makbid. Yeah? What? Well, it's even better than Rubo. It's all of them. Right? What?
So what is Rubo? Rubo is that you're surrounded by the water, or the water is touching you in some way?
No, Rubo means that if the chatzitza is on the majority of your body, so your actual skin is not, the rove of your actual skin is not touching the water. A miyut of your actual skin is touching the water. Right? So that's Rubo. And if it's Rubo umakbid, so that's a problem. Rubo ve'eno makbid, that's not a problem. This kid's eno makbid. He's very happy where he is. So the Gemara says, but that doesn't count. Ha'amar of Kana, lo shanu el rubo, avol kulo chotzitz. We mentioned this last time, that the din is, if your entire body has a chatzitza on it, then that is definitely a chatzitza, and you're not yotze the tevila. So this kid can't apply the din of Rabbi Yitzchak, because the chatzitza was on his entire body. None of him was in the mikvah. All of him was in his mother's womb. That's the Gemara. That's where the Gemara comes up with the din that if one's entire self has a chatzitza on it, even if he's not makbid, it's still chotzitz, right? So now Tosfos has a valid point. If I was the Gemara, according to Rashi, what would I have asked? I would have had a better kasha. If you're going to tell me that the reason the child doesn't need to go to the mikveh is what? That it wasn't a chatzitza. So what would you answer? Rubo makbid doesn't apply to the body. It only applies to the hair. So don't tell me that according to Rabbi Yitzchak, he could be somik because the kid's not makbid, because he's happy to be in the mother's womb. It's not true. Rubo makbid is also, the kid's hair, he wasn't makbid. I don't even know if the baby has any hair in the mother's womb. Right? I think when the mother has heartburn, they say that the baby is a hairy baby. Right? It's another old wives' tale, Avdafka, that's the case. Right? So if the kid might not even have any hair when he's in his mother's womb. So you're going to tell me that, oh, v'chi tema, you're going to tell me the din Rav Yitzchak, that since he's not makbid, it's not a chatzitza. But we all know that doesn't apply to the entire body. Even a little speck on the finger constitutes a chatzitza in a Torah. That would be a much better kasha. Not that, well, introduce a new din that kulo makbid is, well, lemaisa, that's also necessary. We need to know that. That's an important din to bring in at some point, right? But not in this context. You could ask a much better kasha and disproven the whole theory anyway. You with me on that? That's Tosfos's kasha against Rashi, and it's an excellent kasha. If you could look in the Sfarim, they try to answer up different all these kashas. Tosfos has more implications. The rest of them is just like a solid mashmos when they talk about the size of the chatzitza and how much is considered a problem. Also indicative that it has to be a certain size and a certain amount till one is makbid about it or till it's considered a chatzitza, and miyud veino makbid is definitely not a problem. Okay, lemaisa, Tosfos is marba barayis. You can check it out and see why they reject Chitas Rashi. So the Ritva also quotes this Gemara in Yevamos, and the Ritva is so unhappy with Chitas Rashi, he refuses to accept that that's what Rashi really meant. So it's not a Ritva by us, it's the Ritva in Meseches Erevin on Daf Dalid. Where's the actual Maramakam? One second. Sorry about that, I dropped my notes. The Ritva in Meseches Erevin, where is it? It's Dalad Amid Beis Divra Maschel Ki. Ritva Meseches Erevin, Dalad Amid Beis Divra Maschel Ki, writes that there's no way that Rashi said this. He says, first of all, it's wrong. So second of all, I don't think Rashi said it anyway. And I'll read you the Lashon and the Ritva there. He says, Avol nirish shelo niskavin Rashi zal lekach, elo la'ashme'inon debesaro bilvad misharin berov umiut, ve'ein tzorich l'sha'er berov haguf ve'haseyer, uchidas hageonim. He tells you that all Rashi's message is that I hold like the Geonim. What Geonim? We'll get to that. We mentioned them last time, but we'll get back to the Shitas HaGeonim. Just want to say that Rashi holds like the Geonim. What do the Geonim say? They say that when you're measuring what's considered rove of the body, let's say one's entire hair is covered with chatzitzos. So do you say that, well, it's just the hair, and the hair is only a small percentage of the body, and therefore that's not considered rubo? Or do you say, no, the hair is one entity, and the body is a second entity, and we measure the body based on rove of the body, and the hair based on rove of the hair? So the Shitas HaGeonim is that the hair is separate and the body is separate, and we don't join the two together in order to measure. That's the Shitas HaGeonim. And the Ritva continues, Ushalo kedivrei Rambam zal. And against the Shitas HaRambam, shekosuv shemisharin aguf vaseyar biyachad. The Rambam Shita is that we estimate based on a combination of the guf and the seir. Meaning if your entire hair is covered with shmutz, doesn't bother us as long as you don't have a chatzitza on the rest of your body. We don't join the body and the hair together when it comes to chatzitza. She'ein ha-seir guf bifnei atzmo. Ad kan l'sho. That's the end quote from the Ritva in Meseches Erevin. So the question is, if the Ritva is right, then one thing he didn't explain is why Rashi purposely misleads us. Right? Let's read Rashi again and see if we can figure out that the Ritva is reading Rashi correctly. So he says again, Dvar Torah rubo makbid alav chotzeitz, etc. So Rashi says rubo rov saaro, Netunav betit o kosher achasachs umakbet alav chotzeitz. If the majority of his hair is metunaf betit, that is chotzeitz. So what's he trying to say? Avade, that has nothing to do with the body. The body also is governed by the same exact rules as that. The chiddush is that if rove of the hair is metunaf betit, that's also chotzeitz. Meaning you shouldn't say, well, if rove of the hair is metunaf betit, that's not chotzeitz. Because at the end of the day, you're mitzdarf the rest of the body anyway, and that's not even close to rove. And therefore, Rashi's telling you that I hold like the Gaonim, that the hair and the body are two separate entities, and if rove of the seyar is metunaf betit, it is chotzeitz. And the tefillah doesn't count. Okay, I could buy it. But shouldn't he at least, you know, throw something in there just to make it clear what his shita is? So, of course, the problem with the Ritva is just that why does Rashi Dafka not mention anything about the guf? Seemingly, you know, indicating that this din doesn't apply to the guf at all. So let's hold off on that question for a second. We mentioned that there's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Gaonim in this area. I'll read you the Lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchos Mikvaos, Perek Beis, Halacha Tezvav. The Rambam starts off quoting the Shitas HaGaonim. I'm picking it up a little bit in the middle of the halacha. V'sara achas shenikshira. If you have one hair that's tied together, again, this is straight out of our Gemara. Chotzetzes, that's a chatzitza. V'hu sheyia makbid aleh. That's only if he's makbid that the hair, he doesn't like it when his hair is tied like that. Avalim eino makbid aleh. Also lo tvila. The tevila counts until the majority of his hairs, each one on its own, is tied in a knot. This is the Shitas HaGaonim. Has to be, if you have rov seyar, that's a problem. The Yiroi Ali says the Rambam, but in my opinion, shesaro shel adam kigufahu chashuv le'inyan tevila, ve'eno kiguf bifnei atzmo. So he says, according to me, the hair and the body is one entity, and even if every single hair is tied in a knot, it doesn't matter, his tevila is still good. Elam kein nitzdaref lachotzeitz acher al gufo v'nimtza kol rov gufo kemoshe be'arnu. Right? He says, unless he also has another chatzitza on his body that's so big that between the hair and the other chatzitza, it constitutes rov of his entire self. That's the Rambam's opinion. You look in the Saga Saravid there, he says, I agree with the Gaonim. But Lamaisa, this is your machlokis. So, there's a very famous Brisker Rav on this machlokas. It just explains Pashat Pshat. So the Brisker Rav basically says, what's the Yisoda machlokas between the Rambam and the Gaonim? That according to the Rambam, he agrees, well, both the Rambam and the Gaonim hold, that in Kol HaTorah Kula, the hair is one thing and the body is something else. They're two separate entities for every other halacha. So then what's the story, Dafka, here that the Rambam wants to put them together? He says, it's not me. He says, look at the Gemara. Our Gemara, we skipped this today, but the Gemara on Davav that we didn't read together says, right, first we have the drosha from Virachatz Bamoyim. You should wash in water. Shelo yehe davar chotzeitz beino levein amayim. You shouldn't have something that's chotzeitz between yourself and the water. That's rule number one. Rule number two, what do we say? V'rachatz es bisaro b'mayim. You should wash your flesh in the water. What do you mean? What else are you going to wash in the water? Right? So that word, those words, es bisaro, are extra. So the Gemara Darshans, what are they coming to teach us? Es hatofel libsaro. It's talking about that which is secondary to his body. Umayniu, saro. Right? That's talking about the hair. So the Rambam says, wait a minute. There's a special Gzeiras HaKosuv from which we are marbe the hair. Right? So he's saying, what's the source of the Gzeiras HaKasev? It says, V'rachatz es b'saro. It's talking about the basar. We then darshan that whatever applies to the basar also applies to the hair. So the whole makor that you learn that you need what we call bias mayim bekulo, you need all the water to touch every part of the individual, that whole din of hair, which I wouldn't have otherwise known, is dafka learned out from the pasuk of rachatz es b'saro. So how can you now separate between the body and the hair? He says it's the exact same limud. Yes.
Besides for
he doesn't give any, and I actually can't think of any. But there definitely are. He just doesn't give you any. Examples of when we're machalik between the hair and the body. Right? I don't know why I can't come up with anything, but there clearly are. Anyway, Lamaisa, he says that in Kol HaTorah Kula, we're definitely machalik between the hair and the body. So if I would have just had the words v'rochatz b'mayim, I would have just thought that it means that your body has to go into the water. Your hair maybe doesn't even need to go into the water. There's no din chatzitza by hair. But now that it says v'rochatz es b'saro b'mayim, I learn out that same din applies to the hair as well. So now you're going to come along and tell me that the hair and the body are two different things? One is learned from the other. And the Gaonim say no. That in general, we consider them two separate entities. Dafka here, when I wouldn't have known that the law of chatzitza applies to hair, I have a gzeiras hakasev of rachatz es b'saro b'mayim to teach me one thing and one thing only, that the hair requires bias mayim bekulo as well. The hair cannot have a chatzitza, and thus the Gaonim say that that's an isolated gzeiras hakasev. It doesn't apply to anything else besides the din of chatzitza, and it doesn't mean that now the hair is mitzuref to the body in terms of how we measure rov. That's the way the Gaonim want to learn. So that's how the Brisker Rav explains the machlokas. It's pretty simple. So I just saw earlier this evening that in the footnotes of the Ritva in our Masechta in number 365, the author of the footnotes in Sukkah is Rav Elio Lichtenstein. So he has an interesting word. I'm not sure I understand it. So he basically says that, first of all, L'chorah the Rambam is right. He says, what kind of nonsense are the Gaonim saying? That we use the Pasuk for only one thing, but then we leave the rest of it hanging? We use the Pasuk to say that whatever applies to the body applies to the hair. But then we say, but don't think the hair and the body are the same thing. They're still different. He says, L'chorah, I would have thought that it's much more mistaber to learn like the Rambam, especially the way the Brisker Rav is explaining it. So he says, so what's the pshat in the Gaonim? So he says, maybe the pshat's like this. Really, what was the nature of the halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai? The halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai of Rubo Makbid, that's what's called a chatzitza, was dafka by the hair. That's what the halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai was. It was halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai that the hair is not considered a chatzitza unless it's Rubo Makbid. Nothing to do with the guf. And we then have this gzeiras hakasev v'rachatz es b'saro b'mayim to teach us that we need bias mayim also in the hair. And that's where the halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai tells us, granted, the hair also needs bias mayim, but at the end of the day, it's only in the hair, the halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai says the hair is only chotzeitz if it's rubo makbid. So I now have a din that applies exclusively to the hair, which teaches me that the hair and the body are separate. However, it doesn't mean that once I have the halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai by the hair, that I'm not going to apply that same din to the body as well. There's no svara to say that dafka only makes sense to say by the hair, but by the body, even a miyat ve'eno makbid is chotzit. Rubo makbid is the qualifier for everything. But the halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai went out of its way to say it dafka for the hair. And thus, it tells us that even though we have a gzeiras hakasev that the hair requires bias mayim bekulo, still, the hair and the body are two separate entities. And they remain separate. But, now that I have halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, that the hair needs rubo makbid to be called a chatzitza, I also have the halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai by the body as well. And he says, that's why Rashi says it the way he says it. because Rashi's trying to tell you that the Iker Halacha L'Moshe Misinai was not by the body. It was dafka by the hair. We're applying it to the body. We're applying it and we're saying that just like the din of Rubo Makbid is by the hair, it's also going to be true for the body. But Lemaisa, the real Gzeres HaKosev was by the hair. And that's why I hold like the Gaonim, says Rashi, that the hair and the body do not constitute one entity. Because they're specifically separated by the Halacha L'Moshe Misina. Yes? Meaning, what was Moshe told at Har Sinai? What was he told? Was he told that Stam, there's a Din Rubo Makbid, period? Or was he told, no, when it comes to hair, there's a Din Rubo Makbid? So, he wants to say that Rashi and the Gaonim are learning that Moshe Rabbeinu was told that when it comes to hair, there's a Din Rubo Makbid. That's what he was told at Sinai. Now, what do we do with that? Well, we take that halacha, and we say that, well, we have a Gzeres HaKosev that you need Bias Mayim Bekulo by hair as well. Right? So, and it's not Mistaber that we're going to take that din and only say it by hair and not by the body. We're going to say it by both. Because if that's the rule of Chatzitza by hair, why shouldn't it be the rule of Chatzitza by the body? So, we're not going to take the din and use it exclusively for hair. So then what's the point of Dafka saying Gzeres HaKosev for hair only? It must be to teach you that we're still going to keep the hair somewhat separate from the body. The hair is going to be one entity for Chatzitza, and the body is going to be another entity for Chatzitza. So that's why Rashi tells you that the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai was Dafka Rubo Makbid by the Seir. Not to tell you that Mi'aveino Makbid is Chotzitz by a body. Of course you need Rubo Makbid by the body also. But to tell you that the Gzeres HaKosev was Dafka by Seir, and that's why I hold like the Gaonim that Seir is one entity and the body is a second entity. Yeah.
You say Gzeres HaKosev from like an extra
Joshua of Esbizero. Esbizero, yeah.
Well,
the whole pasuk is Verachatz Es Bisaro B'Mayim. So we learned two things. Number one, you need Bias Mayim B'Kol Basar, right? And then in addition, we need Bias Mayim B'Seir as well.
So you have pasuk by like the teaching, like now you have both pasuk by both and both of Moshina by both.
Right. So then what on earth is the point of telling me that, there's the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai Dafka by Seir only to be Mechalik in terms that each one constitutes a separate entity, Linyan Chatzitza and of Rov.
That's
his var.
Is it that the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is Iker by hair, which tells me that's a separate entity, or is it the fact that there's a Kosov? Which one tells me?
No, the Gzeres HaKosov would tell me to put them together. Look, they're the same words in the Pasuk. Right? I would have thought that whatever applies to one is exactly, that's one big entity. Right?
The fact that it was originally for hair, and then we apply it to the body afterward, it tells me that...
Right. I think that's what he's getting at. I'm not 100% sure. I read it over a few times. That's how I understood it. Feel free, check it out for yourself, see what you think he's saying. But I think, whether or not that's what he's saying, you could still say that vart. Anyway, okay. A little bit of halacha lemaisa based on all this. So, if I would ask you now, based on what you know, if, let's say, bizman hazeh, a guy wants to become a ger, he goes to the mikvah, how much does he have to be careful to get all the chatzitzas off his body? Or a woman who's a nida wants to go to the mikvah, how careful does she have to be to get all the chatzitzas off of her body?
Anything but
Miyad Veino Makbid. It's a Dover Pashit, no? Everything but Miyad Veino Makbid should be fine. I'm sorry, anything, it should be a problem, and Miyad Veino Makbid is not a problem. Well, listen, you can look, open up a Shulchan Aruch, you know, in Simon Kuf Tzadik Ches, in Yoredeya. You can take a look. We have some of the very nice Kitzur Hilchos Nidus books here. It's not the halacha. The halacha is the woman does a long chafifa, takes forever, and she's makbid on every little kutzo shel yud to make sure that there's nothing. So why is that? So, because the Shulchan Aruch says so. That's why. If you look in the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, it's the first simon, first sif in Simon Kuf Peches. Why did I say Kuf Peches? I think it's Kuf Tzadiches. Sorry. I wrote in my notes Kuf Peches, but it's wrong. It's Kuf Tzadiches. The first thing in Kuf Tzadiches says that a woman should be makbid even on a miyat veino makbid. She'd try to get rid of that. Right? Gzeira atu dvar machotitzim. And it should be gzeira atu things that are not chotitz. Now, what kasha are you going to ask on that? That's exactly gzeira on gzeira. So mamele, you want to say, oh, it's like other cases where we do make gzeira on gzeira. But it says in the Gemara, don't do that. It says in the Gemara, don't make a gzeira miyud veino makbid atu miyud makbid. Says it's not valid. So why is it that here we ended up with this, we ended up with this gzeira on gzeira anyway? And second of all, lest you think it's only the Ramah. By the way, the Ramah didn't make it up. It's from Rishonim. But lest you think it's only the Ramah, if you look in the Sidrei Torah wants to prove that the Mechaber holds that way also. Mechaber doesn't say it by us, in Hilchos Nida, but the Mechaber does say it in the Beis Yosef, in Or HaChaim, Siman Kuf Samach Aleph, Seif Gimel. He's medayik in the Beis Yosef, it's in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim, that let's say a woman has a loose ring. She has a ring that's a little bit loose, and probably water can get under that. So he says she should take that ring off. She should take that ring off, even though water will get under it. So he says, why? So the Beis Yosef says two possible reasons. Either you could say it's a gzeira atu, a ring that's not so loose. So we're choshish that if she has a ring that is loose and the water will get under it, she should still take it off. Gzeira atu, a ring that's not so loose. Or just stam, we have a svara that comes up very often in Shulchan Aruch. Einonu bekiyin. We're not exactly experts on what, we're average people. We don't know exactly which ring comes off easily, doesn't come off easily. So if you tell a woman, take off all your rings, she'll always take off all her rings and she's not going to have a problem of one that's actually chotzitz. Right? So that's his diyuk in the Mechaber. It's his diuk that the Mechaber also agrees with the Ramah that we're gozer dvarim she'enam chotitzim atu dvarim achotitzim. So l'chora, he's also going to be careful that she should get rid of a miyad veino makpid. So he's also against the Gemara. Everybody's against the Gemara. So, just one side point. So why on earth is a ring considered a dvarim makpid? Most women are very happy to wear their rings. So she's not makbid, if I care. She wants it to be on. Right? So why is that called miyut umakbid? Right? Or even, so it should be called eno makbid anyway. Meaning, the Beis Yosef is saying that, yes, this ring, the water gets under it, but take it off anyway because you might have another ring that the water doesn't get under, and that would be a miyut umakbid. Not true. That would be a miyut veino makbid. She's very happy to wear the ring. So the Beis Yosef points out that the Ravid in the Balei HaNefesh, the Ravid has a small little sefer called Balei HaNefesh on Hilchos Nida. In the Shar HaTvila Siman Beis, the Beis Yosef points out that all women take off their rings when they make challah. When Shas Alisha, he writes, when they make challah, they all take off their rings. No, I'm not going to see too many women kneading dough with their rings on. So he says, and even if you're going to say that she's not going to, she's the one woman in the world who doesn't take off her rings, so she bought the daitzei to kol adam, meaning that, like we said earlier in the Gemara, by the Karam and Ksasos, that if you're the one meshugana who decides that she wants to wear her wedding ring at all times, otherwise she's not married, so then it doesn't matter. That's no one else in the world wears their rings all the time. Okay, so that's a side point. But just getting back, so we see that the Mechaber and the Ramah are apparently choshish for miyad veino makbid, and halacha l'maisa, that's what everybody does. So Simple explanation number one could be that maybe they're Choshesh Rashita's Rashi, like we just said. Meaning there is a Rishon out there who says that if you have a Miyat Veino Makbid on your body, right, and you go to the mikvah, you're Tame. You didn't do anything just now. So now the woman's going to go home to her husband. She's Chayav Karis. They're both Chayav Karis. More the merrier, right? So she's going to go home. She's Chayav Karis. He's Chayav Karis because she wasn't careful about a Miyat Veino Makbid. Because there is no such halacha Moshe Mitzrayim of rubo makrin when it comes to the body. So you could say like that. The problem is that that's a shita dechuya b'shtei yadayim. That all the other rishonim try to slug that up. Everybody, the Rambam doesn't say like that. The Gaonim don't say like that. Tosus and the Ritva and all the rishonim slug that up. Ad kedekach, the Ritva wants to claim that Rashi never said it. Tosus claims that somebody says it, but he says that someone doesn't know what they're talking about. So we're going to be super choshish for a shita dechuya, even if the guy who said it is the illustrious Rashi HaKadosh, but still, it's a shita dechuya. We're not choshish for every single Rashi and Shas that the other Rishonim don't agree with. So it's hard to say that that's the basis for the psak of the Mechaber and the Ramah. Yeah.
Also, wouldn't they have to be more specific in that only by the body? They would say, is this really Rashi shita than Rashi?
Yeah, I was thinking that also. I was thinking of saying that also. Very good, right?
Then if you're going with Rashi, then...
Yeah, they would have to say that, for sure. Right. For sure. So Sidrei Tara lays out the Rishonim. I'm not sure if he's saying that Svara, that we're Choshi for Rashi or not, but it's unclear. So I would have thought, maybe, okay. So maybe it's a different Rashi, right? It's a different Rashi. Not the Rashi in our Sugya, but along the lines of the famous Rashi in Maseches Pesachim. There's a Rashi in Maseches Pesachim, Chav Tesem Ed Beis Zira Maskel Shalo, where he says... Why is it that chametz is aser b'mashu? Right? So what does he say? Why is chametz aser b'mashu? Because we're super machmer by isurei karis. Right? You know, there's a famous machlokis, Rashi and the Rambam. Why chametz is aser b'mashu? Either because we're super machmer by isurei karis, or because it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Did you guys do davar sheyesh lo matirin this summer? Right? So either it's because Rambam wants to say it's davar sheyesh lo matirin, and Rashi wants to say that it's because it's an isur karis, and we're super firm when it comes to isurei karis. Okay. So just like Rashi over there says we're super firm when it comes to isurei karis, so we're also going to invent new chumras even against the Gemara, that when it comes to a woman going to the mikveh. But what would be the natural totzah of that? That by other types of tevilos, we would not care about miyud veino makvin. Problem with that is... There's an important sefer called the Isser V'Heter Aruch. Isser V'Heter Aruch in Shar Nun Ches, Simen Tzadik Gimel, and Halacha L'Maisa, it's quoted in the Mechaber in Yoredeya, Simen Kuf Chof, Sif Yud Gimel, quotes from the Mordechai in the second parak of Avodah Zarah, that even if there's a tiny amount of chaluda, even there's a tiny amount of rust on the keli before you would do the tevilas kelim, you have to try to scrub it off. And only if you were unsuccessful at scrubbing it off, then you can be tovel it since it's a miyat veino makbid. But you see that even by kelim, we're choshesh for miyat veino makbid, and so it can't be that the whole reason we're super machmir is that it's an isser karis, because I don't think you get karis from drinking from a kli that hasn't been tovel, hopefully. I don't know. Yeah?
Can't the other ones just be because of the woman? You don't want to differentiate between
tefillos? Right, I guess, but is that a reason to go against the Gemara? I was talking to Ari Willig about that today, but he was thinking, is there a makor to say that there's no, we don't want to, right? It's just such an gzeira al gabi gzeira al gabi gzeira there.
No, so I thought about that, but it's not really, because that's not like, you know, what, that's just types. It's a new question.
Right. I don't know.
A ger can be tovel, but a woman can't. You know, a woman not a ger.
So okay, so make it for all human tevilos. You know, like shelo lachlifo ben kiyum shtaras d'alma. I don't know. Like it's hard already to. We're getting so far away from the ikar adin. You know, ad kedei kach that we're matriach the olam. Ad kedei kach that you have to ask yourself after a while. You know, you're sitting there in the kelim mikvah erev Pesach. You could be preparing for the seder, and you have your gugon and your various tools for getting off the label, which is on the bottom of the cup that no one will ever see in a million years, and there's only one speck of glue. I'm saying, I could have caught that already. It's so much bittles man. For what? For what? What's your goal? To get off something that isn't even an Isser Derabanan? You know? So like, you have to wonder, what's going on here? So anyway, the most satisfying answer I found was in the Levush. The Levush in Kuf Peches Aleph writes that since a chatzitza of Rubavena Makbid, they were gozer even b'di'eved, so we can then make lecharchila gzeris. What does that mean? It means that normally when we make a chumra midrabanan, we say that lecharchila don't do it, but b'di'eved it's okay. Right? That's oftentimes when we make a chumra midrabanan. Right? So here, what do we have? The woman's going to go to the mikvah. She has a chatzitza, which is a rubo ve'eno makbid. So does she have to go back to the mikvah now? The answer is yes. Right? If she has a miut umakbid, she has to go back. Lo olso lo tvila. Right? It's only on a miut ve'eno makbid that we're going to say that bidyevit, it's good. So what the Levush wants to taina is that since the din de rabbanon is usher even b'di'eved, to throw a lechatchila on top of that is not a gzera on a gzera. So he says that's not, because the only way it would be a gzera on a gzera is if we would say that even b'di'eved miut veino makbid has to go back to the mikveh again. So he says that would be a gzera on a gzera, because then the double gzera would be exactly the same as the single gzera. But if the double gzera is only a lechatchila on top of the single gzera, then it's okay. You can make such a double gzera. That's the way the Levush wants to say it. All right, Lamaisa, you know, as the poskim say, we're makbid lechatchila. If the woman comes home from the mikvah, or you come home from the kela mikvah, and you realize you missed a miyad veino makbid, then you don't necessarily have to go back. Yeah.
Does the answer help with the kela?
So the same thing, meaning the gzera with the kelim was also b'di'evit. If you come home from the kelim mikveh and you see that you left the price tag on the side of this new becher that you're going to use for Pesach, there's no way you're going to show up to the Seder and everyone's going to be reading, either because it only says $9.99 or because it says $9.99, $99.99. So either way, you don't want people to see that, you know. So you're going to take the thing off. You're not going to leave it there. So then you actually have to go back to the mikveh. Because the gzera was even b'di'evit, but if you find this the little bit of glue on the bottom there, which no one's ever going to see, and you would have never known about it except that maybe your mother doesn't trust you when you go to the kela mikveh to take care of business, so then she notices it. Then already you don't have to go back. That's the difference between the two. Okay. Let's see if my recorder didn't die. Oh, look at that.